Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 116, God's Love for Us. Pastor Karen Coulterman delivered this message on February 16th, 2020.
We celebrated Valentine's Day, and I was thinking, you know, humans' love is so different from God's love for us. And I wanted just to talk about God's love for us today. It's one of my favorite things to talk about anyway. But I wanted everybody to understand God's love for us. Not to doubt it one little shred, but to know how much God loves them and how important it is to be loved by God. People say that love is pure, painful, sweet, and dreadful all at once. It's a feeling that a person has for another person. The Bible tells us that love is long-suffering and kind. It does not envy, does not parade itself, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. So let's pray. Father, I thank you today. I thank you for your love. And I just ask for a revelation for each person here of that precious love you have for us, that it endures forever. I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, God's love started when basically he created this earth for us. He created the heavens and the earth for mankind. He created it perfect. We were talking the other night in cell about, you know, when Noah was instructed to build an ark because of a flood. It had never rained before that. It was the perfect kind of climate for mankind to live in, as well as just the perfect flowers, perfect trees. Everything, including the animals, were perfect. God created it for mankind, and then he created man and woman. And he created them in his image and his likeness, because he loved us. He wanted them to be like him, because he wanted to spend time with him. He wanted to fellowship with him every day. And that's what he did. After he created them every day in the garden, he came and fellowshipped with man and displayed his love to them, and they loved him. But then Satan entered the garden in the form of a serpent, tempted Eve, basically, and she explained to Adam how wonderful it was, and they together partook of the fruit that had been denied them. They disobeyed God. They ate it. They sinned. And they basically walked away from the fellowship that they had with their Creator God. Now, did he stop loving them over that? No. His love endures forever to us. His love is pure, is kind, is beautiful. Satan doesn't have any love in him. He essentially wanted to destroy mankind in the garden. He couldn't destroy God. He hated God, basically. And he got back at God through getting to God's creation. Genesis 3:26 says how God responded to that. Or three something. Let me find it. Three 15. It says, I will put enmity between you, basically the woman, between you, Satan, and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his foot or feet. How do you kill a snake? By striking its head. Satan was in the form of a snake. And through the seed of the woman would come the plan that God had to redeem mankind, Jesus. So from the very beginning, God had to come up with that plan, Jesus, a Messiah, a Savior for mankind. And so he told Satan, you know, the seed is coming through a woman. And so from that moment on, Satan hated women. And it's displayed all throughout the Old Testament, you know, the consequence of that, how difficult a woman's life really was. And today it still is in many, many nations. God has blessed America. He's given us women freedom and joy and a life worth living here in America. But in many nations, still, a woman's life is very hard. And it's because Satan hates women so much. Because it was through the seed of a woman that Jesus would and did come. So everything that God had created, the perfection in the Garden of Eden, it still wasn't enough to prevent what Satan did to God's perfect creation, his precious creation. And they broke that fellowship by sin, by disobedience. So from then on, time spent with God would be very challenging. Before, he was always there. They could call him anytime. And I mean, they could worship him, spend as much time as possible with him. But once that fellowship was broken, it was very difficult to find the time, to find the means, to find the way to fellowship with God, their creator. But God didn't quit. He didn't allow Satan to win. Even though God had every right to, you know, start all over again with a different creation, since his humans messed everything up. And that's because God is love. Satan has no love in him. He loves himself, if you could even call it that. But other than that, he hates God. And he hates God's creation. Satan is the father of lies. He's the author of death and everything that has anything to do with death. His plan for mankind was evil. It was destructive. God's plan has been good and life-giving. He recognized, and this is important, God recognized how evil Satan was and the hold that Satan had. Even those that loved God, the challenge that came against them now because of Satan taking that dominion away from Adam and Eve, that God gave them over this earth, over the animals, over life itself. Satan now had that dominion. Evil had that dominion, and God recognized that. And God wanted them to be redeemed from that. Amen. He knew how evil Satan was, and he hated the fact that Satan had that dominion over mankind. And even those who still obeyed God had to fight so hard to do it, because Satan was always challenging them. So God determined to send a Savior into this world to redeem mankind. The problem was, God is spirit also. He is love and he is spirit. And Satan stole that dominion from Adam and Eve. But Adam and Eve were of this earth. So God had to send his only begotten son in human form, just like Adam and Eve were, to legally enter this earth and do Satan damage, destroy Satan, basically. But God's plan was to send his only begotten Son into this earth, who would come in the form of a baby and yet still be the Son of God. He would be totally surrendered to God. He would be sinless, but he would show everyone, those who were beguiled by Satan, yet bound to him, who God really was. He would redeem mankind by taking our place of punishment for sin on the cross and die for us and defeat Satan once and for all. And in exchange, all we would have to do is accept that. Accept and believe that Jesus is God's Son, did it for us willingly, turn away from our life of sin. That means to repent from our life of sin and allow Jesus to be Lord over us. That's all we have to do. Accept him to be Lord in our lives. In other words, turn, you know, let him make the decisions for us, leading us step by step. And it sounds easy, right? He did all the hard work. We just accept what he did and allow him to come into our lives. It is easy. And it was all done in God's perfect love for us. But the problem seems to be that Satan, from the very beginning, wanted to kill, steal, and destroy. The Bible says that's what he came to do, kill, steal, and destroy us, to get back at God, basically, and take God's place. Satan tried to blind our eyes to what God was truly like. He tried to convince us that God was too controlling. He was authoritarian. He was too stern. He only wanted things to be his way or no way. That God wasn't giving everything to his creation. That God didn't have a good plan for our lives. God didn't really want to be involved with us. Or God wanted to knock us over the head just for, you know, following him. Because this earth was entirely under the control of Satan. So confusion, deception, and death reigned on earth. People sought God, but there was, because of the blindness in their eyes, they sought God, and yet they made idols because they didn't see the answers from God quickly enough. So they made idols for themselves to worship instead, or they idolized themselves because they just couldn't handle allowing God to be their Lord and Savior. Was it because God turned his back on us? No. God's love for mankind, for all of us, endured forever. Amen. And we have examples in the Old Testament of men and women who followed God. They believed God. They were challenged. They had hard times, but they truly believed that God was their creator. Enoch was one of them. Just shortly after Adam and Eve, Enoch came along and he loved God and he wanted to spend time with God. And so he set things aside and he purposed and dove in to be a follower of God, to fellowship with God. And God enjoyed it so much that he actually took Enoch out of this earth without Enoch dying physically. He just took him up to heaven to be with God because Enoch wanted to be with God so much. That's the love of the Father God. And then there's Noah, who believed in God and obeyed God. And all along, you know, God knows when the time is right, I'm sending a Savior into the earth. Willingly, Jesus went willingly, wanted to come willingly. But the time had to be right. And so far it wasn't right, even though it was taking some time. So mankind got worse and worse, more and more evil. They just were, Satan was having a blast with them. He just was really enjoying himself. Noah, his wife, and their three sons and their wives were the only family left on this earth who loved the Lord. And so God said, I have to do something right now. And so he told Noah to build an ark to be preserved from what God was going to bring. And God was going to bring a flood that would destroy all life on earth. Noah was mocked for it. He made fun for it, I'm sure. But God promised Noah, and he encouraged him later. After Noah ended up in the ark, he built the ark and for 40 days and 40 nights was in the flood and in the ark. And then he came out, and this is what God told him. And it's good for today, too. But he wanted to encourage him. He wanted to say, now listen, now you have the chance to start all over again. I love you so much. The whole earth is here. This is what I want to tell you. As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. And we can see that today. Sometimes we're wondering, you know, at the ominous things that are happening. But God made a promise to Noah. As Noah was worshiping God when he came out of the ark, God promised him, no, this earth will remain until it is no longer. This is what's going to happen. There'll always be seed time, and there'll always be a time to harvest that seed. It'll go through to the full harvest. There'll always be cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night. Until the earth is destroyed, this will always take place. So be encouraged and follow me in it. And he told Noah and Noah's sons to be fruitful and multiply, exactly what he had told Adam in the very beginning. And they did, of course. So as this time, he replenished things on the earth for Noah and his family. And as they multiplied and were fruitful and were blessed by God, generations passed. And then we see a man that God raised up in Abraham. And the interesting thing about all of these men and women is that they were not sinless. They sinned. They had faults. But God raised them up because God was preparing this place for Jesus. And so when Abraham came along, his name was Abram at that time, in Genesis 12, we're still in Genesis, the Lord has said to Abraham, or Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. And we know that he was talking about Israel. Out of Abraham would come the nation of Israel. And through the nation of Israel, the Jews, the people of Israel, would come Jesus, the Messiah. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. And we know that happened. And God several times gave Abraham this promise. He cut covenant with Abraham. But he wanted the earth to know that Jesus was coming. The Messiah was coming. It was taking a while, but he was coming. Isaac was given to Abraham, a total miracle, because Sarah's womb was closed and God miraculously opened her womb and she had Isaac at a very old age. But she had Isaac, one child. And yet God had promised a nation from Abraham. Isaac went on ahead and had Jacob. And Jacob was given Joseph. All this occurred because God had a plan. His plan was to send a Savior into this earth. Now, it took some time to overcome all the obstacles that the enemy had placed. So many barren wombs, God had to open them all. He did. Idolatry, those who were in the area who worshiped idols, famines, and yet God overcame it all. Amen. Because of his love for mankind. Moses was raised up. By that time, the children of Israel lived in Egypt because of the famine where they were. But by the time of Moses, that generation were really persecuted, and they were slaves. So there were many people that received his truth and love in spite of Satan trying to deceive and destroy them. They were a part of God's plan. So Moses was raised up to lead the children out of that bondage in Egypt. And part of it was these people had been slaves for so much time. And then Moses led them out into the wilderness. And essentially, it was very difficult to get that thought life in them of slavery and bondage out of them so that they could enter into what God had for them, the overwhelming blessings, his love for them. So it took a long time to go through the wilderness in order to come out the other end. But all along the way, God never gave up. He continually gave them encouragement, even though there were times when they incurred his wrath. He still loved them. His love for the human being was powerful and pure. He continued to demonstrate his love in the miraculous and in patience. From judges to kings, he showed his overwhelming love for humans. His prophets spoke his word to the people and encouraged the people because they saw other nations, you know, that were committed to idolatry, to heathenism. And all along the way, they kept saying, when is he going to free us? When is he sending that Messiah anyway? Maybe we misread things. So God continually raised up men who were prophets and had them give the people of Israel encouragement along the way and other people. And this is what Jeremiah encouraged them with from Jeremiah 29:11. He said, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." That's what God was encouraging them with. And then he raised up a man, the second king in Israel, named David, King David. who won God's heart, even though he was a sinner. He committed murder. He did things that weren't pleasing to God at all. And yet, because of his overwhelming love for God, God's heart was with him. And David learned of God's love and forgiveness. He wrote about God's love in the Psalms. And one of the Psalms, Psalm 63, oops, I'm going the wrong way. Psalm 63 says this. Verses three and four. Because your love is better than life, I will praise you as long as I live. And in your name, I will lift up my hands. Another psalm talks about God's love enduring forever. He's in Psalm 136, he says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His love endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders, his love endures forever. It never stops. It goes on and on. That's the kind of God we have, the kind of creator we have. But Satan was trying busily to lie about him, to deceive the people about God, their father, to pull down all of the goodness of God, get it away from them, to captivate their lives. All throughout history, God encouraged his children that he would be faithful and that the Savior was coming. From Lamentations 3, 22 and 23, it says this, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And then the time was right, and the people that needed to be present were present in order for the Messiah to be born on the earth. The Messiah, the only begotten Son of God, to come from the glory in heaven to this earth, knowing the hatred that was on this earth for him, knowing that he was God Almighty, living with mankind and many men hating him. Yet he wanted to come because he loved us that much. He wanted to live with us. He wanted to share the love of the Father with us and help us to understand that overwhelming love. Jesus, the Messiah, wanted to be here and wanted to go to the cross for us because of love. And so he was born to Mary and Joseph. The people were present who needed to be present, but the circumstances surrounding them were worse than ever. The Roman government was in power. They were evil, wicked, very idolatrous, cruel people. And basically, Satan had a stronghold there. So Satan was at work busily, but it didn't stop God. The time was right to send the Messiah to this earth. The Son of God came into this earth. He left the glory in heaven. He came into this earth as a holy, sinless Son of God, and also Son of Man in human form, to be legal on this earth, to know our pains, our sufferings. He gave up everything in heaven for us through sacrificial love. He had no sin because his blood was the blood of the Father God. He had his mother's body, a baby, when he came to earth. But the blood that ran through his veins was the Father God's. It was pure and it was holy. 1 John 4, 9 and 10 says this. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. He loved us, each and every one of us. Not because we necessarily loved him, not because we were good enough for him, not because we were intelligent, great human beings, not because of the work we did for him, but because he loved us, no matter what he found us in, no matter what condition we were in, he loved us. John 15:9 says this. As the Father has loved me, this is Jesus talking now. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. So he wanted us to follow him while he was here on earth. He, above everything, besides the cross, wanted to share the love of his Father to us. He wanted us to know who his heavenly Father really was, what he really was like, what his love really meant for us. So he had to show us that love here on earth. And then he said, now listen, just remain in that love. Once you see it, stay put. Stay in that love of the Father. And again, it's never been based on us or our behavior, but it's all on God and his love for us. Satan tried to deceive us. He tried to lie to us. He tried to tell us, you're not good enough. You'll never be good enough. Look at the sin you've committed. God can't love that. He never sent a Messiah to this earth. Look at how long it took him. He gave up way too long to get that Messiah into this earth in the first place. He gave up on you. He doesn't love you that much. Just forget about God. All those lies. That's the challenge that Jesus faced with the disciples. He wanted them to know the pure love of the Father for them. So while Jesus was the Son of God, was alive on earth, he demonstrated that love. He had to break through all those barriers to bring God's truth about his Father God. He prayed. He spent time with the Father so that he would know what to do from day to day for us. And part of his prayer was in John 17, verse 6. He says, I have revealed you to those, talking to his Father, I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. He was revealing God's word to the disciples. He wanted them to know, okay, guys, it's going to be tough, but I want you to know just how much the Father God loves you. Now, what did he do to show that love? Well, from Luke 4, it tells us who Jesus was. He was fulfilling Isaiah. I think it's chapter 60. He was fulfilling that. And from Luke, he says, in the temple, one day he opened the scriptures to this verse. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And then he went on to say, "This is now that year. I am doing that." So what did Jesus do? How did he show the love of the Father? Well, for one thing, sickness is a result of sin. It's leading to death, which is part of Satan's work. And all mankind was born into a sin nature up until Jesus went to the cross. So Jesus went around, and the Bible says he went around healing all that were afflicted through sickness and disease. Not just a few, but all. He wanted people to know back then that sickness wasn't a part of God's plan for them. That healing from their sickness, from the diseases that they had, was God's plan for them. It was a good plan. So he went about healing the sick. He went about setting them free. Many people were bound by Satan so much that they were possessed by him. And Jesus set them free. Others were bound by those lies of the enemy. They thought evil thoughts. They couldn't think freely. They could only think the thoughts that Satan put in their minds. And so he set them free. He gave them the word. He helped them to renew how they thought about themselves. The destructive power of Satan was everywhere. But Jesus showed what God's love would do. Even those who were taken before their time in death, he raised from the dead. The widow whose son had died, and he was her only form of survival, basically. He raised him from the dead. He raised a little girl from the dead. He raised Lazarus from the dead. Amen. Ultimately, it showed that the life and love of God the Father was greater than the hatred, the destructive power, the death of Satan. So Jesus, eventually, after his time here on earth, was finished. And it was only 3 years that he really demonstrated all these things. Then he went to the cross. He willingly allowed the soldiers and the Jews to betray him. He willingly went to the cross. He gave his life. He shed his blood for us and in our place so that we could and now can live for eternity in him, in his love. We can do this through the salvation that he purchased for us. The Hebrew for salvation is relief in the sense of being rescued from an enemy, trouble, or illness. KJV, the King James Version, says this as help, deliverance, health, and welfare. Most frequently, it uses the word of salvation, but it means all of those. So that's what we have from God. He wants us to know his true love today. Jesus prayed this in John 17 again. We'll start with verse 14 this time and just read through the end. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is the truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. And then verse 20 turns it around and says, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. And that's us. We believed because someone told us. Someone had told the people that told us before that. And it goes back all the way to his disciples. That all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that your word so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to the complete unity. Then the world will know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those who you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. The love of the Father. He wants us to know what that is. He wants us to be in unity. It was Satan that brought all the disunity and the strife and conflict. Today, that's a result of the enemy, the strife and conflict among different churches. He wants us to be in unity, part of his body, all over the world, one with him. That was a prayer that Jesus prayed all those years ago before he went to the cross. And then one of the converts to Christianity was Paul. And he prayed this prayer. He prayed several prayers, but this one is in Ephesians chapter 3. And I'll start it with verse 17. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. The fullness of God. He prayed that we would be full of the fullness of God. So today, I want you to know, don't allow the enemy to deceive you, to lie to you that God doesn't love you. How could he? You've done too many things wrong, or that you're not living by faith in him, not nearly enough. But the word of God is what's true. Amen. Jesus, in the word, shared his Father's love for us. God the Father sent Jesus to do that because he wanted us to experience the fullness of his love for us, that we can live in victory, that we can live in him always, that we're not bound up by the things in this world, So open your heart to God's unending and pure love for you. It's not based on you or your goodness or your intellect or anything else about you. It's based on God, who always has love for you. If you're not already a child of God, become one. Turn away, repent for serving Satan and this world. Turn away from the death that this world offers to the life that God has for us. Turn away from the hatred of the enemy to the love of God. Thank you. Now we're going to break right now for about 10 minutes and form little groups all around the room and just discuss what your bulletin has. There are two questions there. And I would encourage you that if you have trouble accepting the love of God and accepting the fact that His love is covering you, and that all you need to do, if you've never repented before of your sins, all you need to do is tell God, "I'm so sorry for this." And immediately, His love will overwhelm you. If you've not been able to do that, if you have condemnation or shame, confess that in this group, and everybody in the group pray for that. That the revelation of God's group is so profound and personal that it changes your life. Okay, so we'll let you know when it's time. One thing from Romans chapter 8. Here we go. Verse 38 says, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." If we don't convince ourselves that the love isn't precious to us, nothing can separate us from God's love for us. And so I encourage you today, open your hearts totally to the overwhelming love of God in Jesus' name. And next Sunday, I'll be preaching the second part on what we do with that love. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.